The federal government has accused the opposition of politicising a tragedy by raising questions over the letter that Lindt Cafe siege gunman Man Haron Monis wrote to the Attorney General, George Brandis. Monis wrote to George Brandis 9 weeks before the siege in a letter asking, would it be legal to write to the head of the so-called Islamic State? In question time yesterday, Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus repeatedly questioned Julie Bishop, asking why more was not done by the AG when the letter was received.
The Attorney-General said yesterday the letter did not contain, and I quote, any statements of support or affiliation for Islamic State. How can this statement by the Attorney-General be justified given Monis requested information about contacting the person he referred to as Caliph Ibrahim, the leader of the Islamic State?
The member for Isaacs is contemptible to seek to make political mileage out of a national tragedy is reprehensible.
Julie Bishop and Mark Dreyfus in question time, and that kind of head-for-head, tit-for-tat went on and on in question time yesterday. Michelle Grattan joins us now. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Michelle, when it was revealed recently that former New South Wales Labor leader John Robertson wrote a letter on behalf of Man Haron Monis, who was his constituent, it cost John Robertson his leadership. Do you think this will damage the Attorney-General, George Brandis?
I think it was unfortunate for the government to have this come up in a week when it wanted to put a lot of focus on national security and things that were being done, new initiatives in that area. It certainly diverted the debate yesterday and took up a large part of question time. The circumstances are different, though, I believe, from the Robertson case. That was making representations on behalf of the man. This was receiving a letter and flicking it off to the department for it to deal with. And also, of course, the political context was that John Robertson was soon to face an election, so there was no way that the New South Wales Labor Party wanted an issue like that running before an election.
And I think it's just fair to say, too, a minister's office gets hundreds, if not thousands, of letters through it every week, so the government has some cover here. But as we heard there, the government's response in question time was all about blaming the Shadow Attorney-General for sinking this low. Michelle, some of the points that Mark Dreyfus was making, the government had not long before lifted the threat level. There are questions to be answered, but it seems on the face of it the government does have answers for them.
It was perfectly legitimate for Labor to pursue this yesterday, and it was just a political tactic of Julie Bishop to answer in the way she did, and I think she went in far too hard with those accusations of it being contemptible conduct and so on, because Labor was determined to pursue it. She'd be better to just stick to the facts and the responses. Having said that, I do think that the letter contained no threat, as George Brandis has said. It asked for a legal opinion. In the normal course of events, it was reasonable to refer it to the department. Of course, in hindsight, you can say it would have been better if it went to the police, but that is very much hindsight. These letters had come from this man to all sorts of people, including Labor people and other organisations. ASIO, for example, had not put him on any watch list. So I think that the government does have a reasonable case for the action that was taken.
And we're going to talk more about this with Greg Barton in a moment from the International Global Terrorism Centre at Monash University. Are we seeing a shift here, really, in how our agencies respond to lone wolf actors as against some kind of organised terrorist activity? Anyway, Greg Barton joining us shortly. Michelle, meanwhile, this week, Tony Abbott said, while he's opposed to same-sex marriage, if it is to become law or if the Parliament is to debate it, the whole Parliament should have ownership of the issue. And already we're seeing some efforts at cross-party ownership underway, finally. Warren Entsch, a Liberal MP who's been trying for a time to get this through his party room, is speaking with Labor MP Graham Perrett about co-sponsoring some kind of bill.
Yes, Warren Entsch said yesterday that he'd spoken to a number of Labor MPs, and quite clearly we are going to see a cross-party bill emerge. I think that Tony Abbott sees it as nearly inevitable that there will be a change on this issue, that gay marriage is likely to be legalised in his term, and he wants the Liberal Party to have some ownership of that. Even though he's opposed to it, he would vote against the bill. He doesn't want to give this victory to Labor and the Greens.
And Michelle, just finally, as the government, the Prime Minister and the Treasurer are busy on their post-budget sell, some bad news yesterday. Figures showing the biggest fall in business investment since the 1990s is looming. The mining boom is over, as we know, but no sign of that post-mining boom investment coming on stream. This looks tough environment for the government ahead.
It is a very worrying environment for the government. Now, the survey of expectations and intentions was taken before the budget, but of course the budget is all about trying to get a boost in business confidence with that big package for small business. So the government will be watching very closely the figures in the coming months, because if confidence doesn't rise, if business investment intentions don't improve, it'll be extremely bad news.
All right, Michelle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan is Chief Political Correspondent for The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at Canberra University.